So today is the seventh Sunday of Easter, the last Sunday before we celebrate Pentecost next week. But we're not using the traditional Easter season scriptures because it also happens to be the first Sunday of the LGBTQ Pride Month. And throughout this month, I want to talk about what I call the queer spiritual gifts. And for those who didn't come to our recent workshop on Zoom on the topic, let me explain what I mean by that. So spiritual gifts are talents, abilities, experiences that nurture our relationship with God, each other, and nature. They help us understand the world and give life meaning and purpose. And traditionally, we might talk about things like wisdom, leadership, hospitality, the ability to teach and preach as our spiritual gifts. Now, the word queer is often used as a self-identifying term for those who fall under that umbrella of LGBTQ plus, that is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, intersex, asexual, non-binary, and so on. Generally, a queer person is a person who doesn't fit into society's expectations of a heteronormative sexuality or expectations of gender identity and how we're supposed to express ourselves. Now, the word queer also still carries a negative connotation for many people, as it was once uttered as an insult. But for many, it's been reclaimed as a term of pride. There's no shame in being queer, being LGBTQ plus, and identifying as a person who doesn't fit the mold. So with those two definitions of what spiritual gifts are and what that word queer means, our queer spiritual gifts are the things that we learn from the experiences of LGBTQ plus people that nurture our lives and relationships, that draw us closer to God and enrich our lives with meaning. And these gifts are not only for the person who identifies as queer, but they're really universal gifts from God for anyone who wants to claim them. And the first gift that I want to talk about tonight is the gift of questioning. And it seems fitting to me that Easter, the season of resurrection, gives way to Pride celebrations because those of us who identify as queer in some way have often been through our own resurrections. We are too often taught growing up that we're abnormal and immoral, that we're sinful because of who we are. And as a result, a lot of people develop low self-esteem and we try to hide ourselves. Some even harm themselves. The rate of attempted suicide among LGBTQ plus teens is more than four times the rate of suicide attempts among all teens because they're more likely to face stigma, family rejection, bullying, and violence. For many people, learning to question what we are taught and to challenge the assumptions and prejudices of family and religion and culture is a matter of survival. It's a necessary component to our resurrection to lead us from the death of low self-worth and shame that we have been taught to a new life, whole and fulfilling. Now, in my own life, I actually began to question my religious teachings when I was in high school, and it wasn't about sexuality or gender. Instead, I questioned how the church could teach me that God was all loving, but would also send decent people to everlasting punishment if they didn't say the right words before they died, because that's what I was taught. And it didn't make sense to me. And I couldn't find anyone that really had a reasonable explanation for how those two things could be taught at the same time. And so when I had the chance to quit going to church, I quit going to church. And by the way, I don't believe anymore that God sends people to hell, but that subject is probably another reflection for another day. While I was willing to question my religion, what I believed about my sexuality was a little bit more insidious. I was never specifically taught that being gay was bad. It just wasn't talked about. And when the subject came up in the wider culture, it was almost always in a negative light. So what I absorbed, although not specifically taught, was that being gay was shameful. However, since that belief developed in a very subconscious way, I never realized that I was being what I was being taught, and so never really thought to question it. But I also knew on some level since elementary school that I was gay, even though I didn't admit it to myself. And there finally came a point in my life where my subconscious could no longer hold that contradiction between the shame and what it knew to be true about my sexuality. Eventually, my subconscious, what today I might even be tempted to call the Holy Spirit, decided it had had enough. And I developed physical symptoms, specifically an eye tic. And because of that, I finally mustered up the courage to seek out a therapist who helped me identify and question the inner assumptions I had about myself and my sexuality. And taking a step in the direction of resolving that inner conflict, the physical symptoms went away immediately, and I knew I was headed in the right direction. It was the willingness to question society and even my own internal unconscious beliefs that allowed me to become more of my true self, the self that God made me to be. It was the willingness to question that led to my own resurrection. Now, neither of these are one-time events either. Discovering and becoming our true selves is a lifelong journey, which means we'll probably experience many personal resurrections along the way. The ability and willingness to question will serve us well on that path. Both of our scriptures today talk about what we're taught and what we teach others. The author of the second letter to Timothy advises us to remain dedicated to the truth. They warn that many people will reject the truth for teachings that instead suit their own desires, flocking to teachers who are willing to say what they want to hear. And we see this today in Christians who have embraced harmful theologies. We might point out the so-called prosperity gospel or Christian nationalism, teachings which embrace the pursuit of wealth and power, that divide rather than unite, that exclude rather than welcome all of God's people. These, I believe, are teachings incompatible with the teachings of Jesus. And yet, how do we really know? Because the adherents of prosperity gospels and Christian nationalism and others might look at what I teach and preach and call me the false teacher, because I proclaim that queer people exist just as God intended us to exist, that we are fully worthy of God's love without any need to change, to conform to society's norms. How do we know what sound doctrine, as 2 Timothy calls it, really is? Well, I think we have to learn to question. And Jesus too warns of those who teach harmful messages out of self-interest, but who claim that they want to help us. And he says we will be able to identify them by their fruits. We can't pick oranges from an apple tree. Teachers who bring the good news of God's love will produce love. Teachers who bring hateful messages will produce division, hate, and violence. So perhaps the first question to be asked is, what fruit is being produced? Those who would tell us sexuality is a sin would tell us it's no different than saying anything from selfishness to murder are sins. Those who tell me my sexuality is a sin believe that, I'm sure. But I think they're afraid to question and challenge that belief because it would upset their entire view of how they've been taught the world should be. And questioning our worldview can be scary, like an earthquake shaking the foundations of our faith. And so they propagate teachings of shame because, like Timothy says, it's really what they want to hear. In some sense, it's what they need to hear. But when we embrace this gift of questioning, We learn sometimes that earthquakes in our belief system can be a good thing. They can be something that help us grow and flourish. If sins produce rotten fruit, then clearly selfishness and murder are sins, but what does our sexuality produce but the fruit of living true to ourselves? That doesn't sound like a sin to me. It sounds like a blessing. And when I examined my own beliefs about my sexuality, I knew that it itself was not the problem. If I myself were a fruit, and yeah, the pun was intended, say an apple, if I'm an apple, I can't ever be an orange. And I knew that I was gay no matter how much shame I felt about it. And that wasn't something that I could change. I tried to hide it. I could tell people I was an orange, but I never really tried to change it because I knew I was an apple. The shame itself was what I needed to question. I had to ask, what is this teaching of shame producing within me? Is it producing good fruit or rotten fruit? Is it making my life better or worse? In my own body, my own subconscious, the Holy Spirit was telling me that the shame I felt was as rotten as a piece of fruit could be. Whatever that was in me that was producing that fruit needed to be cut down and thrown in the fire, just as Jesus says in the scripture. And there were two important things I want to mention that helped me heal from that rotten fruit of that shame. And the first was, as I already mentioned, finding a good therapist to help me through some of those issues. In my case, we worked with Albert Ellis's rational emotive behavior therapy, in which a person is taught to question, to identify, and then challenge the beliefs and attitudes and expectations that frequently lead to distress. Basically, we examine the beliefs that cause the shame and we question them. Are they actually rational beliefs? Where do they come from and why am I holding on to them? And once I could realize that they weren't either rational or helpful, we set about the process of excising them from my unconscious. And one tool I was taught to help do that was affirmations. So if I felt I wasn't worthy of being loved, I could repeat to myself a phrase that affirmed my inner worth. And that helps reprogram those formerly unconscious beliefs. Now, I'm certainly not saying this particular therapy and those techniques will be the answer for everyone else, but they helped me. And a good therapist can help others figure out what's right for them. The second thing that helped me affirm my own inner worth was, oddly enough, coming back to church. But I don't think it necessarily would have been any church. It was this church, at that time led by Reverend Janice Springer. And I came here originally because a lot of other gay people also came here, and I wanted to find a safe place to meet gay people and continue that journey of discovering and becoming myself. But what I found was a place that affirmed not only the importance of the gift of questioning, but also affirmed that I'm a worthwhile person just the way that God made me, just the way that I am. That God loves me not in spite of the fact that I'm gay, but because of it. Just as God loves each and every one of you, just as you are, no matter your sexuality or how you understand and express your gender. We are who God has made us to be, and that is reason to be joyful and proud. Now, a therapist telling me I was worthy was great and immensely helpful, but in some sense, it wasn't totally convincing. I think the question in the back of my mind was, well, does this therapist really know better than society as a whole? But coming to a spiritual community that told me I was worthy because God made me as I am, that God actually dwelled within me and delighted in who I was, that clicked for me. That made a huge difference. But it was only possible because I was willing to question. Or I might say in my case, it was only possible because the Holy Spirit kept poking me in the eye until I had no other choice but to question. The ability to question is a gift from God, a gift that most queer people have to learn to accept and practice as we challenge the boxes and the boundaries placed on us, as we are taught unnecessary and harmful shame. Apples can't be anything but an apple, so question and challenge those who would ask you to be something you are not. And that applies to more than issues of sexuality and gender as well. Learn to question. And then be the apple or the orange or the plum or the pear or whoever you are. Be lesbian or gay or bisexual or straight or transgender or cisgender or non-binary, whoever you know yourself to be. Because that's how God made you. And let God and us love you for your courage to discover and become that unique and fabulous person. Amen.